Good afternoon. Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. Your panel this afternoon for this one case is to my right, Justice Bill Meyer. To my left, Justice Lee Gabriel. I'm Leanne Dauphineau. We'll hear this first case, and then there'll be a new panel. So you're it for this. We're here just for you. You ready? All right. Ready?
May it please the court. Appellant respectfully suggests that the principal issue in this appeal is whether the Town of Flower Mounds Board of Adjustment abused its discretion by acting without reference to any guiding rules or principles. And that's been further refined by the Vanesco case as clearly failing to analyze the law correctly and to apply it correctly. When used for its standard of review, the question whether the appellant had met its burden of proof to establish that the building official's interpretation of the code was incorrect. That's what the board actually used for its standard of review. Whether the appellant had met its burden of proof to establish that the building's official's interpretation of the building code was incorrect, and
how do you know that?
That's what the question that was issued to the was given to the board after the end of their deliberations.
So you're basing that's the standard that they used based upon what the town's attorney said to them.
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. I'm basing it on what was submitted to them in written form at the end of the hearing.
Submitted by who?
I guess the city. It's in the record. At the end of their hearing, they were submitted some written questions, and that was one of the issues whether the building official had incorrectly interpreted the code.
Okay, that's different than what you said just a minute ago. You said met their burden of proof. Did you not?
Yes, that's one of the ones, I believe they applied that, and there's no way of knowing for sure exactly what they applied in that sense, but if you look at the entire record, Your Honor, what you'll see is that formulation is echoed by some of the other board members. It's in the record that we submitted to the court. So it's we can't get into their mind and say we know exactly what they used, but we know what they were instructed. We know the written question that they were submitted, and we know what they said that brought forward by the city and by the board. And there were several comments that the appellant had to meet a burden of proof.
But isn't the real question is, did the board abuse its discretion? I mean, you can go down this trail of what standard did they apply, which you now admit you'll never know for sure. So the real question just comes back to, did the board abuse its discretion? Correct?
Well, yes, but I think there's a standard of review that you use to determine that, I would respectfully submit. And the standard of review is whether they acted without reference to any guiding rules or principles. And in the deliberations, number one, this standard was echoed, first of all. Secondly, that's the question they were submitted by whomever submitted the minutes.
Did the building official commit or make an error?
Yeah, incorrectly. And that is not what the ordinance, the fact of the ordinance instructs the board to use. Simply not, If you look at the 78.
The ordinance says that they're supposed to be looking to see whether the building official committed an error, and then they're supposed to do what's right under the circumstance. So how is that a wrong question to ask?
Because the if you look at 78.84A, which in 78.84, Your Honor, is pretty much stipulated in the summary judgment of the board to be what the vehicle for the appellant to come up forward to the board. And if you look at that statute, and I've got a copy of it, because I don't want to, it basically gives the standard of review, which we think is critical, and it is in exercising its powers, the Board of Adjustment may, in conformity with the provisions of the state statutes as existing or hereinafter amended, reverse or affirm, wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirements, decision, or determination appealed from, and make such order, requirement, decision, or determination in the board's opinion as ought to be made, and shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken. So that the question that they were, that the standard of review they used is a legal decision that they made as to what the standard should be. And if that's incorrect, we submit, the board abused their discretion. And in a case that was briefed by appellees, the Vinesco case, and frankly, I didn't, before I read their brief and prepared it and realized how important that case really is, and I'd be happy to submit a post-trial brief on that. But what if you look at that Vinesco case, what you'll see is that we had a similar situation, not identical, where the city attorney gave instructions to the board, and that was brought up on appeal. And two members of the Supreme Court looked at what the city attorney said. They looked at the ordinance, and they said, we don't see any error in what the city attorney said. I'm comparing what the city attorney advised them with the ordinance. Now, the dissent, Justice O'Neill, found a problem with it. But the analysis I would submit to the court is the same. And that is, when the board makes a legal conclusion that it bases its decision on, that's its guiding rules or principles. And to determine whether or not that legal decision is correct, we submit, you look at the ordinance. And the court, as a matter of law, is the body that interprets the ordinance, not the board. And that particular determination by the board is subject to something like similar to a de novo review. If it's clearly incorrect, then that in and of itself, we submit, is an abuse of discretion. There need not be any additional balancing of any of the evidence we submit. There need not be any, you don't go down into the much more deferential standard of this is the only decision that the board should have reached, because it's not a factual determination.
Okay. Excuse me. We're going to have to get real basic for
sure.
Me. All right. This is not an appeal of the decision of the board. This is an appeal of a grant of a motion for summary judgment.
Yes.
And that's the standard of review we should be looking at here. There's a summary judgment that was granted by the trial court. And I think what I would like to hear is, you said there was an issue of fact, and you said that the trial court erred in granting summary judgment and dismissing appellant's claims against the town and the board because the board abused its discretion by acting arbitrarily and unreasonably. How does that fit into the standard of review for the denial, for the ruling on the motion for summary judgment?
As I understand it, the standard of review, the standard for granting a summary judgment, Well, the court, I believe, would look at that de novo. And the standard would be whether the facts entitle or the undisputed material facts entitle the movement to judgment as a matter of law.
Okay.
So
are you saying there's a fact issue? There's.
I'm saying that the as a matter of law, the facts, the undisputed facts show that they're not entitled to summary judgment because as a matter of law, the board used an incorrect standard for its review. In effect, they incorrectly interpreted the ordinances that give its own authority. So when they incorrectly interpret the ordinances, and that's what comes up on appeal, that's what we complained about, those facts in the record do not entitle the movement for summary judgment because they show that the board, as a matter of law, abused its discretion because they incorrectly interpreted the ordinances that are the only thing that it had to go on for its guiding rules and principles. That's all it has to go on. There's no other place for the board to go. And when they launch off.
But there is. There's 78-83-1, which you alleged in your petition that there was error. And 78-83 says that the Board of Adjustments has the power to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged that there is error, which is exactly what the question was that was asked. Which is what you alleged in your petition in district court, that there was error, and that's the standard, is it not, that the trial court could have been looking at when it decided to grant the motion for summary judgment?
I don't believe so, and the reason is that 78.83 incorporates by reference section 78.84.
It says
pursuant to that section, and it gives the standards that the board is supposed to apply.
What 84 is saying is that the board can then, if they find that there was error, the board can modify, amend, or do what it determines is the right thing that should have been done in the first place. It's telling them what they can do once they find that there was error.
Your Honor, let me explain our position in that 83 incorporates 84. 84 states that the board's standard is to make whatever determination ought to be made and shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken. Then the Board of Appeals in the IBC, International Business Code, section 1.112.2, which is relied upon by both parties, states that on an application for appeal, it shall be based on a claim that the true intent of this code or the rules legally adopted hereunder have been incorrectly interpreted, that provisions of this code do not fully apply, or an equally good or better form of construction is proposed. So the ordinances that the board was supposed to be looking at to give its authority, the only thing they had to look at, said number one, they could make whatever determination ought to be made. They had all the powers of the building official, and give an equally good or better form of construction. That is materially different than what happened in this hearing. In this hearing, what happened is they were instructed several times that the appellant had a burden of proof. There's no burden of proof involved. If they have all the powers of the board, they are the ones to make the determination. And if you look at the record, what you'll see is there's a whole lot of deference to the building official and what he says and what he doesn't say. And that's echoed that they're supposed to determine by the record that other board members are saying we're supposed to determine whether or not the building official erred. Now, when the board uses an incorrect standard of its own authority of its own factors, that is an abuse of discretion, in our opinion. Because what else are they supposed to, how are they supposed to determine what factors to determine to use, except to look at the ordinances? And to just, we respectfully say you can't just read out 84.
Well, you want to read out 83.
No, I don't. No, I don't, because it's 83 is, 84 is incorporated into 83, but explicitly.
I understand that, but okay. You'd want to read out that they are supposed to look to see if there was any error.
Well, because that's, it's, it says whether the board erred and then gives the standards to determine whether there was an error. And even if there was an error, I mean, even if we're going to look at whether there was an error, there was an error, and that is, and we bring this forward is the reasoning of the official, and how much deference the board gave the official when they're supposed
to. I mean, you don't know what they considered. I mean, you can't get into their mind. You said that yourself.
I don't know there's no way of knowing psychologically what's in somebody else's mind, but we know what they said. And Justice O'Neill's analysis is, if you don't know, it's reversible.
May it please the court. My name is Ed Voss, and I'm here today representing the town of Flower Mound, the Flower Mound Board of Adjustment, the individual board members, and the building official, Mr. Danny Hartz. This court should affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment to the appellees because it correctly determined that the board's decision was not illegal. This court should also affirm the decision by the trial court to deny the LIT, which is how I refer to the appellant, motion for new trial. The facts of this case begin with the application by ERI to the town for a certificate of occupancy. LIT owns a warehouse building in the town. It was leasing a part of that space to ERI, which is an electronics recycling outfit. And so they accept old electronics. They dismantle them by workers. It's not an automated process. They put them into different bins and then they ship them out. And so on their application, it showed that they would have about two shifts of about 30 people per shift in this space performing these dismantling and factory type duties. The application was submitted to the building official. He looked at it. He noted that it looked like a factory use and that it was not heated. And there's a requirement in the town's building code to have the space heated. And that's section 1204.1 of the International Building Code, which the town had adopted as its building code. It wasn't heated, therefore the town building official did not issue the certificate of occupancy, and from that decision, LIT appealed to the board, and then the board held its hearing. It affirmed the decision of the building official, and then the suit was filed under Chapter 211 of the Local Government Code. That process has with it some particular legal standards, and I would refer the court to a couple of its own decisions. First, the Pick and Pull Auto Dismantlers case. That's at 45 Southwest 3rd, 337. And also the Southwest Paper Stock case, which is at 980 Southwest 2nd, 802. In both of those cases, the legal standards pretty much go down sequentially, and I think that will guide the court here in this case as well. First, the district court in such a case under Chapter 211 sits only as a court of review. Mr. Rossini referred to it as a de novo review. I don't think that's true. I think the standard is different than that. The district court sits only as a court of review. The question is the legality of the board's order. It's a question of law. The legal presumption is that the board's order is legal. LIT's burden was to show that the board clearly abused its discretion. How? By showing that the board acted arbitrarily and capriciously and without reference to any guiding rules or principles. The district court can't put itself in the board's position, and it can't substitute its discretion for that of the board's. The board is the exclusive judge of the witness's credibility and the weight to be given to the testimony that was presented at its hearing. The board weighs the evidence. It resolves conflicts in the evidence, and it does not abuse its discretion simply because it bases its decision on conflicting evidence. And as the record in this case shows, there was conflicting evidence.
Mr. Foss.
Yes, sir.
There's in the appellant's brief on page 6 statements that are instructive to us as to what the board was told would be the rule of or the approach in hearing this appeal. And what the words say is that the board was instructed that they should make their determination using the same type of standard that would apply in a court of law in respect to a civil matter that the board must decide if the applicant has met the burden of proof. Now, I don't read that in the ordinance. So where'd that come from?
Your Honor, I don't know. I wasn't the one making those comments.
I know you weren't, but you're the one here before me, and the other one's not, so I'm asking you.
I understand. I don't see those as signifying that there was some kind of an improper decision made by the board, because despite whatever comments were made, either by the lawyer or by the people who were making presentations to the board, the question is, was there any evidence to support the board's decision?
No. The question that I'm interested in is in terms of trying to determine if there's been an abuse of discretion, if an erroneous proposition of law was the basis for the action taken, then that's an abuse of discretion.
I would refer the court to the pick and pull case at 45 Southwest 3rd at 340, in the Southwest Paper Stock case, 980 Southwest 2nd at 806. The standard that is the basis of the appellee's argument here is that the board did not abuse its discretion by relying on those standards. And the standard is, what did the board have before it to review? It was 1204.1. And 1204.1 talks about whether or not there were interior spaces intended for human occupancy to be heated. That was the question before the board. Did the building official look at that standard, and was there evidence to support his decision about that? Now, the standards that the court is referring to on page 6 of the appellant's brief are those standards that we're talking about, Town Code Section 7884 and the International Building Code Sections 112.2. And those simply talk about the authority of the board to review the decision at hand. And the decision at hand was that of the building official. And as the court has already discussed a little bit this afternoon, that decision or that authority is what the board had before it or had as its basis for reviewing the evidence. The evidence that was presented to the board during the hearing was presented both by the building official and by LIT. And it conflicted, but I submit that the standard is whether or not there was any evidence to support the board's decision. And if there was, it was not an abuse of discretion.
What was the appropriate standard for the board members to apply when they're sitting there listening to the appeal? Were they supposed to apply, I'm going to listen to all this just like you would as a trial judge and say, look, I'm interested in facts and I'll apply the law to the facts? And if that's true, then was it strictly a matter of 50.1% for one for a decision to be made as to whether the interpretation of the requirements in an international building code were correct or not in terms of the particular use to be made of the space that was talked about in the application? All right, is that the question? And if it is, what guideline was given to the board as to following that kind of analysis?
I submit that the board's power is stated in 7884A in the International Business Code Section 112.2. Now, The fact that there was discussions made about something else that the court is pointing out to me doesn't establish that the town attorney had any authority to change anything. The standards are in the code, and if the town attorney didn't state it right, that to me doesn't make a hill of beans of difference. And I submit that this court shouldn't be persuaded by that kind of argument, because the code says that the board is to make such order, requirement, decision, or determination in the board's opinion as ought to be made, and shall have the powers of the officer from whom the appeal was taken. The powers of the building official here was to determine whether or not the International Building Code provisions applied to this space.
Have you acted as counsel to boards in situations like what we're talking about here, and been the lawyer sitting there representing the city in cases like this?
Yes, Your Honor, I sure have.
And how many times, in your experience, have you ever given an instruction to a board as to what the law is and how they're to act that they didn't follow your instructions?
I hate to admit it, but more than once, where they haven't given, where they haven't followed my instructions.
That's not what we're here about today, but that's what I'm trying to say to you.
I understand.
I don't think we park our logic at the door. And if an attorney comes in and says to the board, here's the way you do this, and there, to me, the logic is that the board's going to follow that kind of instruction, because they're relying on the legal expertise of the city attorney who's there to give them that kind of guidance.
I understand the court's point, and I respectfully disagree with it.
Thank you very much.
According to Mr. Rossini, that Vinesco, I believe it was Vinesco case, would give us some guidance on this issue, and particularly Judge O'Neill's dissent on whether being instructed wrongfully, what difference that makes. What's your response to that case, his using that case?
Well, it's an interesting argument, because the Vinesco case really supports the appellee's position in this case, because in that case there was factually what happened was this couple wanted to build a house, and they worked with the city's permitting office, and they didn't want to spend a lot of money on architects, so they worked with the permitting office itself to draw up the plans and to build a house. And they got approvals on their plans, and they started building. And it was the foundation, things started going vertical. And then when the roof got put, the inspector came out, as he normally did routinely, and he noticed, oh, that roof line is about 8 feet too high. And so you need to get a variance. And the people said, but wait a minute, this was approved by the staff, so it should be okay. And the inspector said, well, staff doesn't have authority to change requirements. Only the Board of Adjustment does. You need to go get a variance from the Board of Adjustment. So they did their application, and they went to the Board of Adjustment, and they explained everything, and they explained how they had been misled, but here they are to get a variance. We should do it because, after all, this is not going to be that big a deal. Board of Adjustment said, sorry, denied. During that hearing, there was some instructions given, but on the appeal, those instructions were not held to be found to be binding on the board. The board's standards were set forth in the city's ordinances, and I submit that that's the same situation that we have here. The board's standards are set forth in the ordinances. The town attorney who made those comments that Mr. Rossini's pointing to didn't have any authority to change those standards or to change those ordinances.
Okay, what we're dealing with is a board of adjustment, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You go to a board of adjustment when you want a variance from the requirements, the ordinance, the zoning, whatever, established by the governmental entity. Is that correct?
That's usually the case, but there's also this kind of a situation that brings us here. And that's a little slightly different. It's not really a variance they're asking for, as it is a different interpretation from an appeal from the building officials ruling on the application of
the
building code.
Determination. And is there any weight to be given to the fact that they didn't get their certificate of occupancy before? I mean, do we look at that at all?
I don't think so. I mean, that's something that was an initial problem, and that's frankly what brought it up to the building official's attention. But that fact doesn't have any language in any of the statutes or ordinances that we're looking at here. The ordinance just looks at to the, and here in particular, it's 1204.1 of the building code. Does it apply to require heat or not? The building official said it did, and his summary, his presentation is in the record at pages 142 through 153, where he goes through his analysis of why he thought it did apply. And in that analysis, it really doesn't factor in whether or not a certificate of occupancy had been issued from the get-go, even though they moved on in without one. He mentions that during his presentation, but it didn't change his analysis. His analysis was focused on the actual language of 1204.1.
So do you agree that the appeal that we are deciding in this case is a decision that we will make as to whether the trial court abused its discretion in granting the motion for summary judgment because it found that the board's decision was not illegal?
I think I understood the court's question. The oddity of Chapter 211 proceedings when there's a summary judgment motion is that it's not really a summary judgment in the normal sense, because this isn't the court case at the district court level isn't the kind of case that it normally has. So I submit that using the pick and pull and the Southwest paper stock decisions, the review is to see whether or not, like the district court did, there was any evidence to support the board's decision. And if there was, then it was not an abuse of discretion. And if it was not abuse of discretion, then it was not illegal and it should be affirmed. And for those reasons and the reasons stated in my brief, I request the court to affirm the district court summary judgment.
Thank you. Is there a rebuttal?
Yes, ma'am.
May it please the court. One thing I do want to point out is what happened in the City of Dallas versus Vanesco case. It's at 189 Southwest 3rd, 769. It's a case in that lays out, if you will, the review that the court is supposed to give to this district court, or this court is supposed to give to the board's action. And respectfully, I think appellees are taking a big chunk of that, what the Supreme Court said, and disregarding it. What they said, they do say that to establish that an order is illegal, a party attacking the order must present a very clear showing of abuse of discretion. Then they say a zoning board abuses its discretion if it acts without reference to any guiding rules and principles or clearly fails to analyze or apply the law correctly. Then the Southwest Paper Stock case and those other cases, they are turning on, we would submit, they're turning on a factual finding, not a legal conclusion. And when you're talking about a factual finding, the court says with respect, Supreme Court, with respect to a zoning board's factual finding, a reviewing court may not substitute its own judgment for that of the board. Instead, a party challenging those findings must establish that the board could only have reasonably reached one decision. If you look at our primary point of error, we're not talking about that. We're talking about them not using guiding rules and principles, which is part of the standard. But this is the important part we submit. Supreme Court, our abuse of discretion review is necessarily less deferential when considering any legal conclusions made by the zoning board and is similar, didn't say the same, respectfully, I said similar, in nature to a de novo review. So that is a, that's what we're relying on, that's what our brief relied on, that hasn't really been responded to, I believe. Now, another thing I just want to emphasize is, what really happened when this attorney advised the board in an analogous situation in Vanesco? And this is what the court says. The Vanescos contend that the board's decision was erroneously influenced by the city attorney's instruction that the board could not consider whether a permit had been issued in error or whether the structure had already been built. But the city's attorney's actions are irrelevant in our analysis. The mere issuance of a building permit does not render a city zoning ordinances unenforceable, nor does the fact that a permit was issued in error entitle the property owner to a variance in every case. Were this so, the city would never be able to correct errors in the permitting process. Further, subsection, and then it gives the subsection of the Dallas City Code, makes no mention of the particular relevance of a building permit, and we can hardly say the board abused its discretion by failing to consider a factor that it was not directed by ordinance to consider in the first place. So we think that the reasoning is apt and should be applied. Supreme Court reasoning as to how this legal standard should be applied. I haven't heard a dispute that construction of an ordinance is this court's within this court's prerogative as a legal matter. In that case, there was no statute that the board was directed to consider. In this case, we've got statutes, and the statutes say that the board can make a determination of what ought to have been made, and that they can find that as good or better interpretation is being proposed. That is not what the board was instructed. And respectfully, if you look at Justice O'Neill's dissent, he disagrees with the majority. He thinks that the ordinance actually did instruct the board to consider these factors. And he says that if you can't tell, he says, I believe the Board of Adjustment may have reached its decision to deny the Vanesco's variance request by failing to analyze or apply the law correctly. And then he says he would affirm the lower court's remand to the Board of Adjustments for consideration. He dissents and says that if you can't tell, and it just makes sense, because how do you know? They didn't use the correct legal standard. Thank you.
Thank you. Your case is submitted. We appreciate your coming here today. Your argument's been very helpful, and you were able to answer our questions, and we do appreciate that. You know, it took your time. You're excused. You're free to go about your business, and we will recess briefly, and there will be another panel.